From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and, well, alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever the wonderful shirt-wearing, yes. Heartthrob of Bob Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Yes, Bob, for sure. We'll show off the shirt here.
Sure.
I know, be careful. I guess I said something else. That would be pretty bad.
That would have been bad.
AM, FM radio. But yes, I have a shirt. I will show it off here in a second. But once again, as always, great to be back here again. Another episode of Bob After Dark here on a beautiful. It's still fall, right?
I think it's still considered fall.
It's still considered fall. A beautiful fall evening here in Chicagoland. And it's good to be with you all, watching a video, listening on radio, and with you, Bob, as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Count, let's get your weekend update.
I had a feeling you were going to ask me that, Bob.
You know, because the fans will get really grumpy if I don't ask you.
I had a feeling you were going to ask me that, and I am happy to report it was a quiet weekend. Not much going on here past few days, so kind of low-key in 2020 with a lot of things in 2020 being low-key, but sometimes low-key is not necessarily a bad thing, Bob, and you know, I had a quiet weekend, like the quiet nights we've been having,
yeah,
leading up until, well, when the veil is at its thinnest, once again, Bob.
We're getting there. Yule's right around the corner, and that means
very
the
soon.
Veil will be thinned once more.
It will.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How was your weekend, Bob?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you what happened, to be honest.
Same as me.
I watched one of my favorite Christmas films on Saturday.
Let me guess. Jingle All the Way.
No, Batman Returns.
Batman Returns is a Christmas classic.
Listen, if somebody ever came to me and said Batman Returns isn't a Christmas movie, we're fighting.
It is.
You know, people
lots of snow.
People get into the argument about Die Hard being a Christmas movie or not. I mean, you could take it or leave it. I would consider it a Christmas movie, but Batman Returns is definitely a Christmas movie. It takes place during Christmas. There is a giant Christmas theme going on there.
Yes.
So, yes, it is definitely a Christmas movie.
So, gather the kids around and watch Batman Returns this holiday season because, well, it's a Christmas movie. Gosh darn it.
You know, and it holds up, too. It's definitely, yes, it holds up. So, that was my big highlight of my weekend. That's about it. The pandemic is still going on.
It is still going on.
So, we can't really have a whole lot of exciting venture going on.
But we
can
still wear a fancy wardrobe. Bob, what are you sporting here this week?
So, I am sporting the second week of our holiday sweater. Our holiday sweaters here. I have a wonderful Christmas sweater given to me by Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly Podcast. It's Have Yourself a Merry Mothmas, and it's got some Mothman on it.
Wow.
And I didn't even know this was a thing, and you would think I would know about most Mothman merch or Mothman merches, plural. But no, I didn't even know this was a thing. But this was a great gift I got from from Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly Podcast. They were very sweet to send this to me, and it's extremely warm. So I'm very, very excited. I'll be finishing up next week of our holidays, my paranormal spooky holiday sweater weather, next week with a special one that's a blast from my past.
Nice. Well, I don't have a sweater on this week, but you were nice enough last week to get, I said I would reveal it here. You were nice enough, along with your mom who came up with the idea for this. You got me this cool t-shirt. You see that, guys? Yule Cat.
It's a Yule Cat shirt. That. It's the cat being wrapped up in the Christmas tree, and on the back you can't see it because it counts.
Oh, I'll move it for you guys.
Counts cape there.
I have a wardrobe.
If you guys are watching there, and it says hashtag #PanicState on the back of the shirt.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yes.
So absolutely. Thank your mom and thank you, Bob, for awesome shirt here.
Well, thank you for being the greatest producer I could have ever asked for.
Oh, well, I just came with the building there, Bob. But No, hey, you'll
were
get,
you
no.
the one who drew the short straw and who was going to be my producer
it
for
It could have
this?
Been anybody here sitting in the chair.
Could have been you or Sam,
it
right?
It could have been Sam. I don't think Sam would wear the shirt, though. But Yolcat, of course, for people that don't know, Yolcat, one of my favorite, well, cryptids of the holiday season. Cryptids in general.
I would say that's probably your favorite paranormal figure.
Yeah, I mean, the cat, okay, the cat comes around at Christmas time, right? And if
yes.
you get clothing.
You don't get eaten.
You don't get eaten by the
yes,
cat.
But
so.
Now if you get... You don't get a new piece of clothing, then
yeah.
Yolcat will, you know,
well, how cool is that?
Officially eat you.
Yolcat looks pretty happy though on the shirt. On the shirt,
it's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm a fan
good
of
stuff.
Your Yolcat shirt.
Yeah.
You know, it's to the point now where you're like such a fan of Yolcat. I have friends that message me and they're like, "Oh, did you know that there's this Christmas movie on Netflix featuring the Yolcat?"
Nice. Yeah.
And they're like,
"I heard about
Panic.
That too." People told
and,
me.
Yeah,
about
they're
that
like,
too.
"Oh, Telecount Panic." What? It's Bob After Dark. People want to tell you things more than yeah.
yeah. And I'm a dog guy, but Yolcat really just tugs at the heartstrings.
It's a giant cat that roams around the countryside on, you know, during Christmas time and eating people that don't get the holiday clothing.
What's more terrifying than that?
I don't know. That's
no,
a good question.
Nothing.
If this is your first time ever listening or watching Bob After Dark, this is the show weekly show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Creepy, weird, spooky news of the week, and we get the hashtag panic stake because Panic isn't well versed in getting prepped for any of this.
Like the shirt says,
the hashtag
too tough. There are you here?
The hashtag panic
yeah,
stake.
Yeah, okay,
absolutely.
Perfect.
10 out of 10.
Thank you.
Yeah, and absolutely. And this is where you, the fans, submit content to us to read over, talk about, and very exciting. The lore of the week is going to be following with our spooky holiday month theme. I don't really have a name for it. Last week we talked about the Wendigo, the brutalizing winter monster of the Great White North.
Terrifying.
This week I took a personal challenge. A personal challenge, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But I am very proud of this episode, and especially for the lore of the week, because I didn't think I could be able to find any. But lo and behold, Count Panic. I did.
Something.
But if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark and you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a little 5-star review and a little something nice to say. Yes, folks, the podcast is under construction. We've talked about this. I made a big post about it last week. Good news. The new stream is sort of up. We're halfway done converting the old stuff. I haven't made the announcement when the new thing's coming. Because it's not all there yet. But probably by the end of this week, early next week, all the episodes will be moved over to the new RSS feed, and you guys can play catch up on all the new episodes that haven't made it to Podcast Land yet, or is on Podcast Land, but you guys haven't found the new Bob After Dark links. That would be like the episode with Jack Chavez, Our Night with Kitsy Duncan, the James and the Haunted Cars episode, and the Wendigo. All of these are going to be, they're all available now, but it's hard to find them because there's two Bob After Dark podcast things floating around, and no, there's not an impersonator of me out there. Don't go readying the angry mob yet. No, there's not. It's me, I promise. I'm not bootlegging myself yet. I haven't made it that desperate in my...
Evil Bob.
The Evil Bob. Yes, Bob After Dark, where Bob goes and looks at birds for the bird watching podcast. Yes.
So nobody should be alarmed by that if they see it online there.
No.
Okay, good.
All right, let's start off with a little bit of announcements. Are you ready for some announcements?
I got my notepad.
Hit me. Okay, hold on. Some announcements.
I wish I had like a official.
Can we have like signs or, you know, cut in some graphics? Update.
I don't know if we'll have graphics here, but.
You know be like, you ever see Unsolved Mysteries? Remember how they would have like the update noise?
Yeah, Smith yeah. Chevrolet.
Oh, no,
yeah, there
that.
We go. Let's just skip. Let's just skip that part before you play something else I'm going to have to edit out later.
No, how about this? You ready for announcements?
Is this,
yeah.
First off, can, is
you
it,
could.
Is this, can
yeah.
I use this?
It's a sound effect.
Okay.
All
right. Is it royalty free?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to say, hey, it's time for some announcements?
Yes, let's try that.
Say it's time for some
announcements. It's time for some announcements.
There we go.
Woo! Thank you, royalty-free sound effects.
It's a sound effect, yeah.
It's royalty-free, though.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're going to be paying the court fees.
Yeah, I know.
From Friday, January 22nd, and Friday, January 23rd, I will be hosting two two panel virtual panels for the EhioCon, which is the virtual version of OhioCon. I'll be hosting two virtual panels that weekend. Friday night, I don't know the time yet. Things are still getting finalized. I want to say around 8 p.m. we are going to be doing the Bob After Dark Paranormal and You panel. You guys can go check that out. This is going to be free, by the way, for all of you guys to see. We're going to be either streaming on YouTube Live or Discord.
Perfect.
They're still working on things. You have to understand that this is something new for convention staffs. This is something uncharted territory. But the Friday night, we're going to be doing the classic Paranormal and You panel, where we're going to be talking about Ohio-based legends and lore, and I'll be taking your questions. And this is your standard Bob After Dark presence at a convention. This is the this you know this is what you get when you go to my panels. It's not the same thing every time, but it's the same format. However, Saturday night's going to be something very special and something completely different than what I'm used to. It is going to be the Bob After Dark Talks About the Yokai, the NSFW panel. This is going to be an 18 plus panel. So, I pride myself on my podcast being family friendly. I always have. And one of my favorite things is talking to, the little fans out there, hearing their ghost stories and, teaching people about the new stuff, etc. I like doing that. And there will never be a time when we change formatting on the podcast to be not family friendly.
Of course.
I promise. But the an occasional, panel, I could do something like that because it's for a specific target audience. So it's going to be an 18 plus panel where we're going to be talking about explicitity in the yokai traditions from Japan, because their ghost stories are not like ours. Let's just leave it like
Oh.
that. So we're going to be getting down like the nitty gritty in that panel. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that one because I've never done something like this before. So I can kind of let my hair down loose a little bit and be a little bit more different than what I'm used to
Yeah,
doing,
cussing up a storm.
but something like that. I will.
Yeah,
I still be professional
of
about it, but
course.
there are some weird stories of the yokai out there
Of course.
and other Japanese lore that you wouldn't even imagine, and things
No.
I couldn't even touch on normal Bob After Dark.
Make
So
your
that's
mother
gonna
blush.
exactly. So that one's gonna be Saturday night, and from what I understand, that one's going to be 11 p.m. on Saturday Central Time, so that'll be something very exciting. Once I know 1,000%, I promise there'll be graphics up on the social media for you guys to all go and check out. It's free. Normally, when you go see a panel, you got to pay your convention badge fee, and then you have to fight the crowd to get a spot in my panel room because I usually sell my panels out.
Process.
So this is gonna be a free one, and there's not, you could do it from the comfort of your own home. This is probably not, it's. Pandemic is hopefully going to be over soon. So this is a pretty rare occasion where you're going to catch me doing something like this out in the wild. So I hope recommend you guys all do it. Pour yourself a drink. There's going to be a lot of other panels that are going to be going on that weekend, so you guys can check out all the HioCon things. I'm going to
Pants
be
optional.
cough cough. I was gonna crack a joke about my 11 o'clock panel Saturday, but let's just skip it. The I'm also gonna be co-paneling a panel about running panels. So
Okay.
it's gonna be an instructional thing I'm doing with Sarge Pepper, the director of panel operations at OhioCon. He's a seasoned professional when it comes to running these types of things, and he runs a very fun panel, and I do them too a lot, so we're going to be conjoining forces and talking to you guys about, if you're ever interested in running a panel at a convention, these are the do's and don'ts if you want to run a successful one. So,
I would like to learn that.
yeah, and there's going to be other ones too. Like I said, you guys can check out all of the programming directory. And this is the first time in Bob After Dark history I am considered a guest.
Really?
Yes, I am a featured
That's
panelist,
nice.
aka a guest at
How
EhioCon this
about
year.
that?
That's pretty cool. It's a good
Yeah.
feeling. Normally, I'm just panelist. Now I'm actually somebody thing above that. So it's pretty cool.
That is
I'm
very
moving
cool.
on up in my career.
This is a very exciting time, Bob. Virtually a very exciting time too
Very
as
much
well.
so.
Groundbreaking,
Something like
dare I
that.
say.
Something like that.
Groundbreaking.
So I hope you guys can check out that one. Once I know more dates and updates on that one, I promise you guys, I will let you all know.
Perfect.
All right. If this is your first time ever listening or watching Bob After Dark, segments of the show, we talk a little bit about some weird, spooky, and bizarre news stories of the week. This is where you guys, the fans, or in this case, me, finding some weird news I want to share with you guys, and Count gives us his hashtag panics take. Mm-hmm. We are currently looking for submissions from your paranormal experience stories. We have not had one in a while, guys, so get your stories out to us. We want to share those on the show. And I will get to that a little later on how you can do that. And then, of course, we get to the lore of the week. That's
yes.
where the meat and potatoes are, right? The show is the bread, and, you know, the news is the bread and butter. And the banter of me and you is the wine or the grog. And, of course, the grog.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, that's an old term for alcohol.
Yes.
That's the grog.
But the meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes is the lore of the week, and I'm really excited.
What's
about
for dessert?
This. We used to be able to do the Bob After Dark show,
oh.
or Bob After Dark Unplugged.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
Well, you can make new dessert, Bob. There's always time for new dessert out there.
There's always room for pie.
Yeah, always room.
All right, let's dive right into the weird, spooky news of the week. This one comes to us from Oddity Central. Actually, I believe all of our stories come to us this week from Oddity Central. But...
sponsor.
They should sponsor. I used to use these guys a lot back in the day. They're a fun news site for stuff we talk about. Something we've talked about on the show in the past is the folk who marry inanimate objects. It's a fascinating, strange topic. Or the updating stories of the young lady who married the pirate ghost and then got divorced. We never did get a chance to interview her.
No, we didn't.
No, but this one, Count Panic. A woman... has married something named Gideon, which is a good name, right? Can you guess what Gideon is?
What is Gideon?
Gideon is a briefcase. An actual briefcase. A 24-year-old woman from Moscow, Russia, met her husband, Gideon, 5 years ago at a hardware store while shopping for photo shoot props. Gideon looked irresistible, so she ended up buying him, and the rest is history. Gideon is, well, a metallic briefcase. Rain Gordon, who works as a nursery school teacher, claims that her fascination with inanimate objects began at a very young age. She has believed that everything around her has a soul, which there's a lot of people who believe that. I'm, kind of one of them to an extent. Everything puts out its own energy, right? And as time went by, her belief in this inanimate objects having souls only got stronger. In her early teenage years, she fell in love with a shopping center that opened by her home city, but she knew that, thought it was wrong, so she didn't tell anybody. Rain is now opening up her story about her love story about Gideon the briefcase and breaking the stigma around romantic relationships and inanimate objects. We'll skip over the other stuff because I assure you there's other stuff, and I'm sure you can use your imaginations. The sight of Gideon makes my heart skip a beat. I am madly in love with the silver mirror reflections in metal, Rain Gordon tell the Oddity Central. People don't understand my feeling, and I've been told I'm sick and need to be seeking treatment. And I don't let it offend me anymore. The 24-year-old met Gideon August of 2015 after purchasing him at a hardware store. And she says, I had no idea that we would end up together. I admired how he looked, but I didn't say anything more, Rain said. But then I started liking Gideon for more than that. I slowly realized I was starting to fall in love. We shared our first hug and kiss, and we spent more time together in evenings and nights. And we can have philosophical discussions for 3 to 4 hours. Count, I'm getting a strange feedback from my microphone.
Yeah, I think that's just a little technical thing here. Just fixing some radio wires here, Bob.
Okay.
So we're good.
I don't hear it anymore.
All right.
Okay, excellent. And then... we'll skip over that other stuff. But yeah, woman marries a briefcase in Moscow, Russia. Hashtag panic stake.
Well, that happens sometimes, Bob. I think that the one I remember the best case was when somebody was in love with a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster. And I thought, well, that's, I do enjoy a good roller coaster from time to time, but never fell in love with them. But.
You know what?
They say love is blind sometimes.
Love is blind. And you know what? Listen, Bob After Dark is a non-judgmental show. You're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting the people who are very, that are unprotected people or, people that are that should be protected, right? You're not doing anything wrong.
No.
So to this young lady who decided to fall in love with a briefcase, are you hurting me? Are you hurting Count Panic? And are you hurting the general public around you?
Not at all.
No.
Nope.
And you know what? If you're not being bothered by the criticism by your fellow human being, then neither am I. Bless you and bless your love with Gideon the briefcase.
For sure. Gideon the briefcase. But although the roller coaster was kind of a...
Look, you know what? I don't... no judgment here. No judgment. You're not doing anything to hurt anybody. So,
no,
we're good.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing illegal activities. We're not having, you know, that sort of debate, because there's a fine line between doing something illegal or immoral,
yeah,
to something like this, mm-hmm, and you're not.
No.
So, whatever.
No, for sure. What makes you happy at the end of the day makes you happy, Bob.
Absolutely.
Even if it means falling in love with a briefcase or a backpack or a roller coaster.
A chandelier. I've seen some strange ones in my day. Ones that, like, it's like a weird thing of mine. If I hear a news story like this, I'm like, you know, there's something to this.
Yeah.
I remember one young lady fell in love with a train station, an entire train station in Texas.
Now, the entire train station.
The entire, like, the whole bricked structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, whatever, you know, to each their own, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I could see maybe one or two train carts there, but the entire train station?
No.
You got to save some of the other train station for the rest of the folks out there, too, as well. So, do you really need to love the entire train station, though?
Are you going to argue?
No, I can't.
No, you're not. It's not your cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea, but it's their cup of tea.
I guess.
And again, not hurting anybody, not doing anything illegal, not doing anything immoral.
No.
Moving on. I had to share that one. It was so bizarre and strange. Okay, Count.
Yes.
This next news story would be something that Prince or the Queen of the Night would go absolutely crazy about.
Now, why is that?
And that is because an energy-saving lighting system turns the night sky straight purple.
Straight purple.
Yes. For the past couple months, residents of two small towns in the southern coast of Sweden have been experiencing a peculiar nighttime phenomena. The sky is burning a bright magenta. The people of Gilsoth and Trelleborg, two small Swedish towns located about 10 minutes apart, were originally alarmed by the bright purple sky above them. But their worries were quickly put to rest by the representatives of a nearby tomato farm, who explained that an unnatural light color were caused by a new energy-saving system they installed. The large LED installation cast a purple light on plants, stimulating growth, but also glowed upwards, illuminating low clouds from below, creating a sci-fi-like cyberpunk effect. Photos of the purple sky have been circulating around social media and getting mostly positive reactions from users who love the otherworldly effect. But things were very different on locations. Residents in both Gisloth and Trollbudig started complaining about the bright purple lights, saying that they shone above their homes at night, making it difficult for them to sleep. And it's just getting worse. But it's pretty interesting when people are sharing these articles. It's strange. Hashtag panic stake.
So it lights up purple, Bob. And you have to excuse me here. For people listening on the podcast, trying to fix some radio difficulty right now. So I'm balancing a couple, balancing?
Balancing.
Is it balancing? Balancing a couple things. But you say purple there, Bob.
Purple.
Purple. Now, I do like the color purple. Of course, I had shirts made the color purple.
You did, yes.
And it's kind of cool to see purple there, but...
And-
You
that's
know,
that's the Queen of the Night's jam, as you may know, or the people that know who the Queen of the Night is. That's like, this is their dream. I'm sure they're even chiming in on the chat right now, saying something about how the sky should always be purple.
But from time to time, you know, I like to see, you know, different kinds of skies out there. Purple is a nice one. Blue, of course, the sky is always blue, so it's not.
Oh, excuse me. what? Yeah, I like to see when the sky's blue. The sky's always blue.
Well, sometimes is it always blue? Sometimes it's gray. Right? Sometimes it's gray. So
that reminds me of a song when, you know, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. And something you make me happy when skies are gray.
Yeah. No, yeah. Skies are gray.
Yes.
There, Bob.
Uh-huh.
So let's see. I'm trying. It's interesting, Bob. And this is going to turn to some tech podcast now. Don't worry. We'll have to edit anything out, but.
Okay.
What you know, for the podcast folk, they know we're on the radio too as well. So.
It doesn't sound like we're getting a whole lot on my end. Are you getting a lot of feedback on your end?
Not feedback. It's just a little dead air sometimes. So
Oh, that's
I'm fixing it, though.
that's exciting.
I'm fixing it right now as we speak.
Oh, great.
But in the meantime, we could witty banter back and forth, too.
Absolutely. How much dead air are we talking?
Well, just a few minutes right now, so but I'm getting it up and running here.
Do we have to redo segments?
No, we don't have to reduce segments. I'm just going to try to figure this out for a little bit here. Because it's interesting sometimes how that works. But there we go. See, people are seeing this live, too, hearing it live. I'm underneath here. If you're watching on video, you can't see me right now. I'm underneath the table.
Folks, this is all news to me. It sounds like we're going just fine on my end.
It's weird because sometimes the video is the one that putzes out, but sometimes it's the radio side of things, too. So,
are we recording just fine?
Oh, yeah, it's recording just fine.
So we're not missing. There's no dead air.
Well, for...
Not for the podcast.
Not for the podcast. No, just for the radio.
Just for the radio. Yeah. Radio folk, we apologize. But our Facebook Live and our podcast
fans
are
getting up
hearing...
and running, though.
All right, but for our podcast and people are watching live, they hear it just fine.
Yes.
Okay. You had me worried thinking
no.
that, like...
No, the podcast and video is just fine. But for okay. radio, we have people listening on radio.
Radio,
so
we apologize. We are on the radio. So, yeah. Radio folks, we apologize. Kyle Panic's fixing it for you guys on the radio.
Please
folks.
Stand by.
Please stand by. But for us, we're all good. Longtime fans of Bob After Dark know that the show would be the show without technical difficulties sometimes.
And that happens from time to time.
It does. But we're all good. Yeah. Kyle's fixing the radio.
Let me turn, I don't want to get muffled, so let me turn my mic off for a second.
Okay, no problem. I'll just dive right in, folks, to our next news article, and I'm sure Count could still hear me as I do this. Count, don't lose this audio on this, please, or recording for anything. That would be pretty bad. So, a real-life cyborg has two fins implanted into his skull so he can sense the weather. Folks, I do not speak Spanish as a quick prominent note here, so just bear with me if I do not pronounce this name correct, but Spanish artist Manel de Aquas does not consider herself human, but something else. A founding member of the Trans Species Society, he uses technological implants to experience the world differently than the rest of humanity. 24-year-old Manel was first international news headlines of August 2017 when he built the first prototype of a device that allowed him to feel atmospheric vibrations. At the time, it was nothing more than an exposed circuit board that hung on a headband on the back of his head. The following year, he started attaching fins to this side of his head and finally announced his intention to have them implanted in his skull. And then earlier this year, Argus did just that, those turning decorative fins into functional organs that perceive the temperature, humidity, and atmospheric pressure and send sounds to Manel's brain via bone conduction. In June 2019, the Spanish artist sat down with the Vice magazine, explained his intention to have an artificial organ that would allow him to feel changes in temperature, humidity, and atmospheric pressure through his skull implanted. The atmosphere will sound inside my head, and depending on the atmospheric conditions in any given moment, I will have an experience of being submerged in one type of medium or another. The 24-year-old said, as far as the outer part, the organ will have an appearance inspired by fins of a flying fish. I will implant a fin on each side of my head at the same level as at the temple bone of my skull. I have always felt a special connection to the rain, so when I found out there was a way to feel the sense within me, I thought it would be good to create an organ that would connect me to the rain as well as other atmospheric phenomena. As far as the shape of the organ, I've always been interested in marine species, both real and mythological, so the idea of creating a fin-shaped organ simply came from within. Manel described himself as a proopice, or his own species, his response to anthropomorphism of today's society, which puts human beings in higher echelon of a false hierarchy of species. In January of this year, Manel was finally able to make his dream a reality. He had artificial fins implanted into his skull at a clinic in Japan after being refused by several doctors in Spain. The fins weigh 500 grams and can be recharged with solar energy and can connect to various devices via Wi-Fi. I will be exploring the weather through my new sensory organ, Manel's posted on Instagram, where he posted his new look, where he's finally come out and basically said this. And Other members of this Spanish Trans-Species Society also includes Moon Rabas, who has an implant to feel when an earthquake happens in the world, and Neil Harbison, who has an antenna implanted in his skull so he can hear colors. We are officially in cyberpunk world.
First off, I want to say, back on the radio, some if it happens again, somebody text me. I know a backup way to do it, but I had to climb up the tower and fix the radio. But we were still live on the video and the podcast, so people get confused by that. But you were saying they were hearing colors, or
So this person, yes, so we saw you climbing the tower, so
I
you're
was
all,
climbing the tower there, Bob.
absolutely.
Flew up the tower.
Yes. So this particular artist has these fins
Yeah.
that will help them experience the rain with inside their body as an atmospheric change. And these other people that are a part of this trans species group have the one where I said they had the antenna where they can hear color, and the other
Your
one
color.
feels when an earthquake happens somewhere in the world. We are moving in such a way in
Yes,
both
this is
sci
interesting.
in the world of science like this, where borders line like science fiction. We're literally living in a cyberpunk world now. We're getting really close to it.
Well, you just talked about the purple sky before in the story. So you could hear the purple sky if this was the case.
Absolutely.
Those two stories together, you're hearing the purple sky. What a time to be alive. This is the future, Bob.
This
You
is the
just said it
future.
there.
Now, Count, I got a philosophical
Yeah.
question for you since we have a
Oh, let
little
me
bit
get
of time.
ready.
Okay. You can get any cybermorphic like implant on your body. And folks, I want you guys to chime in on this question too.
Interesting.
And remember, we are a PG show, so keep it PG in the chat. Cybernetic implant, what do you want and why?
That's tough. Well, this I wish it would be something useful. I don't, is hearing color useful? That doesn't seem like it would help me out too much.
Well, I mean, it's definitely something.
Maybe can I sense when like spider sense, like kind of in the Spider-Man way?
I mean, that
When
doesn't
something
sound
bad's happening?
that that doesn't sound like an implant.
No,
That just sounds like something,
it's a
sounds like a
superpower.
superpower.
I don't know, Bob. I'll have to come back with you that one. I'm not sure. I really got to think about that
I
one.
got one for you.
Maybe I could hear numbers here.
Hear numbers. One, two,
Oh,
three. There you go. You
there
heard
you go.
numbers.
But the
You know, I
deeper
got
feel.
mine. I
What
got
is it?
mine. All right, hear me out. Some sort of transmorphic cybernetic part that would put gills on me so I can both breathe underwater and breathe above ground at any, you know, when I can switch. So, like, if I'm above ground, my lungs will work. And if I'm underground, my cyber gills will work. Underwater, my cyber
So you're
gills
like
will
the
work.
creature from the Black Lagoon, kind of.
Something
Just
like
dive
that.
right in
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
walk on land.
I can walk on land, I can breathe just fine. I don't need the water. And if I'm underwater, I can breathe through the water just fine. Now that's my augment.
Now, are you swimming? Are you swimming?
I
Are
mean, I
you
guess I
walking at the
can.
bottom of the?
I'm sure I could probably just swim like I normally
I
could,
thought
but
maybe you're walking at the bottom of the water.
no.
You're
That's like
swimming.
flippers. I didn't ask for flippers, I asked for gills.
You're a swimmer.
You never know, man. You never know when you're gonna need to be able to breathe underwater.
It sounds like kind of like Aquaman, right? Didn't Aquaman do stuff like that?
Yes, I would. So, I mean, you can call me Aquaman if you want. I guess my second one would be wings would be kind of cool. If I could just, like, fly.
See, but isn't that again a trait? Like, what if I said I want to be invisible?
That's a superpower. You
Well,
count.
having wings could be a superpower too.
In this case, it's an augmented part
Okay.
on your body.
Well,
You
how
got to think.
about
Okay, so don't give me a superpower. I
Yeah,
didn't
you're
ask you for
talking
that.
about. How about what could I have? Maybe wheels. Just
Wheels.
wheels that could wheel
See,
me.
it could be all-terrain shreds. The
I
all-terrain Count
want
Panic.
wheels. Like
So
a transformer in a way.
what would you do with wheels?
Just I could drive myself.
What?
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
Somebody could write it up.
Treads would be cool.
Yeah.
So you can like go on all terrains, like you can go up like rocks and
Yeah,
stuff.
sure. We'll go with that.
All right, so that's your story and you're sticking to it.
Oh no, how about this? Climbing, when I climb things, I like a suction cup. I
Now
stick to
there you go.
There you go.
There you
So my
go. So,
hands are super sticky. There you go.
all right, so some sort of suction cup
Yeah,
implant
that
so you can
works.
climb stuff.
Yeah,
Oh,
I like that
that's
one.
not bad. I'll give you that one. That's
Thank
a
you.
good implant.
Thank you.
I'd say either my gills or my wings would be kind of cool. Or like some sort of like cyber eyes so I'm not dealing with my lazy eye problem forever. That'd be kind of nice. That's just that's a hope. That's like a dream to fix that problem.
Yeah, but what
Myopia.
would you do with that? Does it
I
shoot
don't
like
have a lazy eye anymore. That'd be great.
Yeah, but would it do anything special?
Yes, I could see 3D because I don't see 3D now.
You're missing out those Weird Al
Nah,
Yankovic
it's
classics.
fine. I'm not missing so
Yeah.
much. But that's what I'm getting at. So those are my top three if I could have
There you
that.
go.
That's in, we put that one out there, folks. The new Cyberpunk game's out. The show is not sponsored by Cyberpunk 2077, so don't think it is. We're
No,
not
we're
sponsored,
not in it either.
but so this article has no coincidence with the release of the video game. I promise.
Not at all.
Count.
Yeah.
You want to take a quick break?
Sure.
Are we all good on the everything else
As
front?
we know, yes, we're good to go on all platforms right
All right,
now.
folks, let's take a quick break for our live fans. Just stick around. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be checking out. Stay tuned.
Hey, true believers and new believers, this is Dr. David Hickney. I am a PhD in cryptozoology from MIT, and I'm the host of Freak of the Week. What's Freak of the Week? It's a podcast where people can call in to talk about all the crazy creatures and phenomena that are out there. Join me, my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Marin, who may or may not be my sister. Spoiler, she is my sister, as we discuss such amazing topics like the ghost of Dave Coulier, the lost city of Miami, aliens, feline warriors, and much, much more. Freak of the Week comes out every week, hence the name, on Fridays. See you then.
And we're back.
We're back.
Welcome back, Count.
Hey, welcome back, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
Fixed more things. Climbed the tower again.
What'd you have to fix?
Something just wasn't connecting properly, so we're back on again. If it goes off, let me know, and I have a backup for this problem right now.
Just for our radio fans, though.
Yes, for our radio fans, for podcast and video fans, continue on enjoying.
See, when you said, hey, podcast fans, you have to understand that we're also live on the radio. I thought we were dropping.
No.
And now, podcast fans, I have a lot, the fans sometimes are like, wow, Bob, you sometimes, get nervous and you talk about, can't you edit that out? No. This is a
No.
live show, folks.
Live, yeah.
We record this live. It's not something where I could just be like,
So in the
oh, take
podcast,
two.
yeah, in the podcast you listen to, you'll hear my documentation of wrestling with the radio problems here. So
I'll have to
leave it in.
yeah, I will.
Good.
I'll mask it over with I'll just have to augment some of your voice lines.
Yeah, I did a pretty good job trying to talk while I was still fixing things around here. See, I could multitask. That's my tr that's I already have that trait. I could talk to you while fixing things.
Isn't that part of your job though, as like a producer,
I gotta
is
talk and fix things.
talk and fix things? Because you're also, fun fact, my engineer.
Well, that's not good. It's bad news when I'm the engineer.
People don't understand, like, this is just a quick like back rub moment for Count, but you have to understand what Count does for the show. Count's not only just my co-host, he's my producer, my sound engineer, and my phone call
No, you
answer.
see,
Which,
people
by the
don't.
way, folks, our phone lines are open 219-845-1100. But especially during the pandemic, panic's a one-man
How
show
many
behind that
computers do I need?
glass.
People watching a video. I got one, two, three, four. I got a fifth one over here. There's too many computers. That's the problem. There's too many
So, folks,
computers.
just remember, Count Panic does a lot.
There's
And
too many
so there's
computers.
times on the podcast version you might be listening and you're like, wow, what's going on here? This is live, guys. I don't have a chance
They're
to second
crashing in the
guess.
background.
Yeah, exactly. If something happens, it happens. I'm only able to do so much with the magic of editing.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's just the way
But
it is.
Count, let's dive right into the lore of the week.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. This is a moment where I have to pat myself on the back. So, going into the holidays this year for the show and the lore of the week and what did I want my theme to be? Years past, we've done the spirit of the holidays and we've talked about weird Christmas Yuletime characters, creatures, monsters, cryptids, witches, when we talked about, La Befana last year for Italy. I mean, like, there's only so much of that stuff you can cover. And I feel like we've done it now enough to where I've covered most of them.
I
And
think you're
if.
ridiculous. You could always have room to cover more of those
How many more are.
creatures.
There might be some out there that I'm not familiar with, but for the most part, I've covered. The major ones and even some minor ones, and I feel like we've probably made the concept of Yule Cat trending across the board.
I think so. I think
I
so.
think so. And so this year I sat back and I said, what do I want to do? And I was thinking, you know, what goes on during the holidays other than, well, the holidays? And I said, you know what? Snow and the cold and the bitter cold.
It is pretty bitter out there.
In the Midwest right now, folks, in the greater Chicagoland area where we're at, it is cold.
Yeah, it's
Yes.
20 something right
And
now.
it never fails.
Well,
Count Panic with the weather update. It's
as we filmed
cold.
this, it's like 20 something
It's
degrees outside.
it's really cold. And then in the summertime, I'll be complaining, and you guys will see me in on the show with like cargo khaki shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Well, aren't you naturally you like the chilly weather,
I
don't
prefer
you?
the chilly
Yeah.
weather, but there are certain feelings you get from like that cold chill in the air that's kind of low key spooky, right? So I thought about it, and this entire month is dedicated to those winter folklore and winter ghost stories that we don't get to touch upon really throughout the year. You know, if I talked about the Wendigo in July, it doesn't make sense really, because the Wendigo is a cold creature. It hangs out in the wintertime. It hangs out in the Great North.
Well, there was, I think we mentioned this last year too. It was brought up here, but I saw it circulate online once again.
What's that?
Reindeer, specifically Rudolph.
Oh my
Cryptid?
God, Count. Rudolph and Santa's flying reindeer, are they cryptids? Absolutely.
Okay, so you confirm it right here.
I confirm it 1,000,000% that Santa's flying reindeer are cryptids.
Now, just the reindeer, right?
Just the Santa himself's not a
No,
cryptid.
he's
He's a
not.
Santa himself is a
Magical being.
mythological figure.
Yeah.
You know, some circumstances of Santa could be based upon like Odin. So, I mean, there it's a myth. He's a figure in lore.
But reindeer are
But
considered.
his
Yeah.
familiars,
Yeah.
his flying reindeer, definitely cryptids, 1,000%.
But they're considered friendly cryptids for the
No,
most part.
absolutely. You know, they're friendly
Although
cryptids.
they made fun of Rudolph and then.
Well, Rudolph is the strangest cryptid of them all with the glowing nose. I digress. You're throwing
They
me
gotta
off
make a
my game.
movie about that.
What?
Rudolph.
They've done several.
I
They've
mean
done. I'm sure they've done
like a
more.
edgy one though.
An edgy one
Like
with.
Rudolph going rogue.
Oh boy.
I'd
Count
watch that.
Panic, I think you I don't even think you have to buy the licensing to Rudolph. I think you could just make a Rudolph like movie. So
You just
go on
could.
ahead.
You wanna try it? We're gonna get snow
We're not
pretty soon.
making no, we're not making a
All right, continue
okay,
on.
anyway. So there's a spooky feeling amongst the world during this cold, and it's you know, there are things out there that lurk. So when I went into this month, I said, okay, there are certain topics I really want to do. I want to cover the Wendigo again because we haven't talked about the Wendigo in a long time. And prior to podcast land, that was just a radio show exclusive and a Facebook Live thing exclusive. I wanted to redo that one. And one the topic next week's going to be a little different. Don't want to reveal that yet. But the other one I wanted to do, I said, where are some of the coldest places on Earth, and can I find some sort of ghost story cryptid something that's not like the thing from the John Carpenter film? So I looked into it. And lo and behold, I found several ghost stories and a cryptid based in Antarctica.
Antarctica. Now, Antarctica. How much do people live in Antarctica?
They have the bases there. You know, there are people that live there in residencies. There's not like an actual, like, yes, people live there for research
Research,
purposes.
only research purposes, though.
Research
Nobody's
purposes.
living there just to
Like
live
just
there.
to live there.
Yeah.
You know, it's an unlivable
A
terrain.
tundra.
Yes. But fun fact, back in the day, places like New Zealand used to offer like day vacations to Antarctica. And I've known people that have done like those residencies in those science bases and whatnot.
Well, before we get too deep into that here, but so can you go? Are there any places to shop in Antarctica? Can you
You have the bases.
the bases, but
I mean, they don't like,
is
it's
there a
not like.
restaurant out there?
I mean, they have restaurants in there, like a cook's and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like you go there and you're driving down like the touristy, you know, things where you see like t-shirt shops with giant
No.
dolphins on them.
There's no postcards,
No, there's
greetings from
no
Antarctica.
greetings. I think there is. You know, there was a speaking of my personal life, there's a, you know, a Ghostbusters franchise based in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Facts. Yeah, they hang out there. There's
Antarctica.
only one guy, and he it's kind of fun. He used to go out there and do like sciencey facts in his flight suit. while wearing everything else. But I digress. I wanted to see if I could find ghost stories or like really creepy stories or even a cryptid. And I found all three. And I was so stoked because, you know,
interesting.
You think about it and you say, well, if there's a place that's not really populated by people, can you have a ghost
story?
Exactly.
That's the question that I was going to ask.
But I did. In fact, I have several. I have several stories about this.
I don't get how, though.
All right. So let's just dive right into our stories of the Antarctica ghosts and cryptids and spookiness. This episode is called Haunted Antarctica. And I might be one of the few paranormal podcasters to cover this topic. I'm very proud of myself.
One brave enough to go there.
Listen, if I had the opportunity to go to Antarctica to see it in like person, I would absolutely go. 1,000%. I'd love to see it in person.
Can a regular person just go there to go there?
I don't think you can. I think you have to be like on residency or like working at the science bases.
Probably.
I bet we can go for entertainment's sake. I think, you know, after COVID, why don't we reach out to them and see if they'll let us come down for like, and the host of Bob After Dark Live will be the first guests of, Arctic Con.
I think it'd be great.
I'm calling it that now. Arctic Con.
Something different.
Absolutely. So our first story is about a ghost ship and it's called the Schooner Jenny, and I found the story posted several different spots, but the one I'm going to be reading from is from Nightwatch Paranormal, a wonderful, wonderful paranormal blog. In 1862, a story of an unfortunate Schooner Jenny appeared in the German geographical magazine Globus. The author's story is anonymous, and the details seem incredible. The story recounts the findings of whaler Hope in 1840. The ship was called Hope. The crew of the Hope sighted a battered ship emerging from a gap between two icebergs on September 22, 1860, in the Dark Passage. There appeared to be seven men standing at attention on the main deck. The battered schooner was the Jenny out of the Isle of Wight. As they hoped, they realized the men appeared to be frozen as the Hope closed. They realized the men appeared frozen solid, as if caught in some storm and was just flash frozen. All the bodies appeared to be in good condition and recently frozen. Captain Brighton of the Hope boarded the Jenny and investigate further. Below the decks, he came across a man writing in the ship's logs and greeted him. The man did not respond to the greeting, and the captain realized the man was frozen solid, just like his crew. Looking at the log, he noted the last entry. May 4th, 1823. No food for 71 days. I am the only one left alive. If the log entry was to be believed, the ship and her crew had expired in the cold 20 years prior. Although they still looked to be alive and in casual glance, she had left her home in port 1822, with their last port of calling Ocalo, Peru. Captain Brighton took the logbook and returned it to the ship's owners and continued his search. To make this tale a bit sadder, the wife of the captain was found in the master's cabin with their dog. The captain of the Jenny sat on a ship, surrounded by death, and used the last remaining strength to update the log before joining his wife and dog in eternal sleep. The Hope sailed off shortly, leaving the ill-fated crew to sail on. Wherever the winds and tides took her, she may sail the Antarctic waters to this day. And here at Bob After Dark, we hope to see more of this little vessel someday come back around. That's the tale of the Schooner Jenny. Can you just imagine, just like, I'm doing some investigative work, and all of a sudden I just see the ship out of nowhere that there shouldn't be a ship, and then I'm going to go board it, and there's just frozen solid people that look to be completely normal but have been dead for 20 years. And the people of the Hope didn't do a burial at sea. They just let the ship continue sailing. That is the permanent definition of a ghost ship.
So is it still out there today sailing around?
We don't know. We don't even know if the story is true, but we do know that it was written before.
There's a lot of tales about ghost ships still out there, aren't there? You know, pirates and stuff?
Well, there's plenty of stories of ghost ships, but none like this.
No.
This just has a certain vibe to it.
Yeah.
Can you and just imagine you being the captain of the Hope that went and looked for this, and then you found the captain of the Jenny just sitting there, and survived 71 days without food, and didn't resort to cannibalism. That's something. I don't know how much I could buy into the concept of not having food for that long. So maybe there's some, what's the word I'm looking for? Some sort of fantastical thing to this research, and the story, but even still, that's just an eerie feeling knowing that there is a very big possibility that there's just a ship wandering around the Antarctic waters and just existed. We have a caller.
We do have a caller. Let me make sure the phones are up. Yes, we got John on the line.
Hey, John, we missed you last week.
Hey, I miss you too, Bob. How's it going?
Doing good. How you feeling?
Yeah, better. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Yeah, when you mentioned the purple sky, would there be purple rain involved in that?
Oh yes. Let's not make sure we quote any farther, or I'll be dealing with a lawsuit, folks.
I don't think they'll get it.
And you know what? I'll buy antennas where you could just communicate with anybody in different parts of the world from the luxury of your
It's called a cell phone.
Oh, jeez. You know what? Right in my hand, too, right?
That's what I was going to say. John, don't waste your augmented reality piece on something like that.
Well, how about mentally? Can you talk to somebody mentally?
I mean, that's telepathic, and I'm sure there's people out there that believe they have that ability.
Well, you know what? I'd have to go. I like yours with having the gills where you could just, you know, go underwater and breathe. That's a pretty good one. Also wings, you know, just to fly around, get around a little better. And not being a swimmer, I would have to say for myself, you know, gills and fins, just to, you know, so I could just jump in the water and do what I have to do without worrying about drowning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the big one. You'll never drown. That's the thing.
But you know what? This is probably old news to you, but the Jersey Devil.
Oh, John, you're spoiling a future episode. you're getting okay. Ahead of yourself.
Well, you know what? There was a show about this on last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the most famous cryptids in the country. We have not done an episode on that yet.
I never heard of it, and so I'm just, you know, seeing it, bringing it to your attention.
We'll talk about it soon, John, I promise. I'll make that an effort to do when we're done with the holidays. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I always listen, as you know, so I'll be looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
So, you guys have a nice evening. Thank you.
Thanks, John, for calling in.
Not because he was referenced before, but never a full episode dedicated.
No, so we'll just have to make that a thing.
Coming soon.
Absolutely.
Who do we run past? Who is in charge of? I mean, you're Bob and I'm kind of panicked, but who do we run by the episodes by? And who approves these episodes, Bob?
The director of the show, the host of the show.
Oh.
That's me.
Oh, okay. I thought you got to take it to a board of directors. And...
Yeah, the board is me.
Okay.
Myself.
All right.
And I.
Good.
You know, occasionally I get input from you, or if I need some help, I talk to the Queen of the Night, and she'll give me some good advice on what to do. But
Perfect.
For the most part, I decide the episode.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. Unless you want to pick an episode. You pick an episode sometime.
Well, this episode would be all about Yule Cat, if that was the case.
We have a Yule Cat episode. It's out on the podcast.
I know. Well... We'll replay it again someday down the line there. But continue on, Bob. So these ghost ships out there.
Uh-huh.
This sounds extra terrifying because they were basically frozen in time. Frozen in time. That's terrifying.
Flash freezing, they call it.
Horrible. Mm. And it's still out there. Well, if it's real, it's still out there to this day.
Absolutely. Here's some different stories. These are just quickies from Polar Latitudes. And this one's about Ross Island because there's different... There's more than just the one central base in Antarctica. There's several different things going on there at once, and one of them is Ross Island, home to the scientific base McMurdo Station. Mm-hmm. Ross Island is also a site of a devastating plane crash that killed 257 people in 1979. Back then, the country of New Zealand was sending people, again, on plane trips from New Zealand to Antarctica for a day or so to go explore. It was just like a destination you can go and do. And unfortunately, in 1979, one of those planes actually crashed in Antarctica and killed 257 people. Visitors to this day claim that they have heard ghostly footsteps and voices in the darkness, and there have been plenty of ghostly encounters experienced there over the years. There have been plenty of sightings of flight victims wandering through the frigid landscape, and eerie, moaning voices and footsteps can be heard all around the station. Imagine you're just looking out into the Arctic tundra of, you know, where you're at, and just be like, ah, this is what I do now. I hang out in this place. And then you look out, and you just see some weird ghostly figures wandering around the Arctic tundra around that area.
And where do you go? I mean, you can't tell anybody if you're alone by yourself sometimes out there.
You gotta wonder if you start, you know, you're hallucinating and these are the things you see. But that's an eerily terrifying idea too. Just, you know.
Well, you know, it seems to be, a lot of people say this too, when the weather is cool. Now, I don't know, ghosts probably don't. If it's a ghost coming back, it doesn't really care about the weather. But are ghosts more likely to show up when it's freezing outside as opposed to being really hot outside? Mm. Is that a thing?
I mean, it can be, I guess.
Like a ghost showing up on a 100-degree day, are you more likely to see one on a, you know, 0-degree day?
I don't know. That's something we could research, Count.
Research it.
Let's just get really cold and see if we see ghosts. Oh.
Well, they say you feel a chill when it gets a little ghosty inside there. Might be the case.
Okay, here's a good one, too. This one's called Blood Falls. There is a waterfall in Antarctica that looks like it's running red with blood in Antarctica. And it's actually not blood, but it's a scientific explanation. There's one for it, and it's salt water mixes with the iron from the bedrock below the glacier, and it seems to color it, you know, seems to give the color of blood when exposed to oxygen. And yeah, so no, there's not an actual blood falls, but people do say that they hear some weird, horrifying things around there, and you gotta consider that an idea because that, well, you know, running water is definitely a conductor of energy. But can you imagine just like not knowing that and seeing that and being like, is that a waterfall of blood?
That would be terrifying as well, especially in that cold temperature.
Yep. Here's another one for you guys. This one's about Scott's Hut. Located in Cape Evans, Scott's Hut is said to be heavily haunted by the souls of perished explorers. In 1911, 25 men overwintered in the hut, and it was here that Sir Robert Scott and his men departed on their ill-fated journey to the South Pole. Some visitors have said that they have heard stepping foots in the huts and feelings of dread. Others say they see shadowy figures and misplaced voices. And a cross was erected in nearby memory of those members of the Ross Sea Party who died not far from the hut, and it seems to be drawing in wandering spirits, offering an additional spookiness to the place. Do we have a caller?
We do. We have James from Peoria.
James from Peoria, you're on the line.
Oh, hey there, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, James. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I actually called in to sort of answer Count Panic's question about temperatures affecting ghosts.
Yes.
Ah, yes, I'm interested.
A real scientist.
No, but I do play one on TV. One of the cemeteries that I frequent, we've gone there all different times of the year, and the temperature there, at least, doesn't really seem to affect the hauntings that go on. We've seen the spectral ghost there more in cooler weather, not real hot weather, and we've had weird experiences there when it was pretty cold out. But it's kind of interesting. That one's actually almost sort of an isolated thing because when they talk about hauntings, they always talk about feeling cold spots.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I thought about the cold spots. You know, that might be a clue for this.
Right. In my experience, the temperature has not really changed or affected the haunting going on.
Well, that's interesting.
At some point, I'm more worried about the weather, though. I mean, if I'm too cold, I don't. When it's too cold, the last thing I'm thinking about is ghosts. Or when it's too hot as well, the last thing I'm thinking about is ghosts. How do I cool down or how do I warm up?
Oh, I know. I had a problem where it was a cool night, not a cold night. And I believe I've said this story before about how kind of became aware of the fact that one of my arms was really, really cold, like it was in a freezer. And I man, my arm, my left arm is really cold. And we got a woman's voice EVP saying, I really like his arms. Well, that's nice.
Oh, that's a compliment right there.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. Unexpected.
A ghostly compliment, Bob.
That's...
Yeah.
Man, I don't get... I... Ghostly compliments, huh?
You probably got a couple ghostly compliments before.
I've been threatened.
Well, fair enough.
I'm sure there's a lot of ghostly ladies that love your hair, Bob.
I'm sure I get something. I don't really get I've had some peculiar conversations, but never a compliment. But good job on you for getting that compliment. Count Panic is popping though when we take him out places. You know, I usually make him the subject of EVPs and stuff just because he is a poppin' subject with those types of things.
It's because of the Yule Cat shirt. I'm going to start wearing this everywhere we go.
That's because he's the heartthrob of Bob After Dark.
He is definitely the heartthrob. I'm just some guy.
Exactly.
You're just the Bob.
I'm just
Bob.
Some guy from Peoria.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for calling in, James. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
You too,
Hope. Take care, James.
Folks,
that answers some of that question. Right,
do you want to be like John or James from Peoria? You can call in 219-845-1100. I have a couple of new more stories for you guys. I know these are quickies, but you have to understand that when there's not a lot of people to be around to tell these stories, you don't have a lot of stories to be told. So these are just kind of more quicker things, but it's just an interesting thought that there could be ghost stories. And I'm going to be finishing out with a story of a cryptid from Antarctica as well. Here's one, the Disembodied Voices of Deception Island. Deception Island is one of the most popular Antarctica cruise destinations, and it was once home to an old whaler station. Whale bones can still be, in fact, seen on some of the beaches, and evidence of an unfortunate history and industry that happened. When oil prices tanked with the onset Great Depression, the station was abandoned, and only later appropriated by the British as a World War II base. Some visitors to the bay, Whaler's Bay, it's a landing site on Deception Island, have described seeing strange apparitions and orbs of light. So, yes, those great orbs can be even found in Antarctica. And a few people have even heard voices. Not only that, in 2009, the crew of a show maybe you guys have heard of called Destination Truth visited the bay, where the crew heard loud bangs and saw a shadowy figure walking among the ruins. They also recorded a thermal temperature signal in a window and heard what seemed to be an SOS signal coming from one of the shacks. Destination Truth is one of my favorite paranormal shows of all time, but they definitely went to go visit the Deception Island. And there's also a ghost of the Arctic Circle Hot Springs Resort. Arctic Circle Hot Spring Resorts in a town in central AK was built on the site of a 400 gallons per minute hot spring in 1918. It was then underwent several changes of ownership until finally being closed in 2002. Though the facility shut down due to financial troubles, perhaps some of those troubles were due to odd happenings from staff and visitors that reported over the years. In the resort's third floor library, there is said to be a female ghost that roams around the bookshelves. And many of the kitchen workers used to hear strange whistling noises they couldn't explain coming from hallways and the exterior. A teacher from California even tried to contact the ghost of one of the former owners, recording doors opening and closing on their own and claiming to feel the presence of the former owner's wife nearby. Other visitors have reported seeing the main hall's chandelier swinging without the help of the wind, or hearing footsteps on the stairs, and watching paintings come to life. Now that's a haunting. That's a haunting.
Well, I feel like a lot of people are skeptical about things, but when your paintings start
when your paintings start coming to life,
your house might be haunted.
All of Viggo the Carpathian from Ghostbusters 2, you have a haunting. And in fact, you have an amazing haunting, because I don't ever get to see paintings coming to life in hauntings. Now this is a spot, man. I need to get down to the Arctic Circle Hot Springs Resort. I need to get in there.
Now, when they say paintings come to life, do the eyes follow you?
I don't know. There's nothing more about this, but I want to be a part of a haunting where something moves in a painting. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard in an investigation. You can keep your bleeding walls and your ectoplasm leaking from the ceiling and table shaking. You know, you keep all that. I don't want it anymore. Yeah, I want to see a painting move. I want to see some eyes moving on a painting or a painting interacting with me.
That's the one.
That's what I want in my hauntings.
Yeah, you don't see that. You see that a lot in movies and TV shows, but never. There's never investigations where they say the eyes were moving with you. It just seems like a thing in out of fiction, but. That'd be eerie, but once you see those paintings move, then you know for sure you're in a haunted house. I feel like this could be a stand-up act. You know you're in a haunted house if... Yeah, I'll save it for the After Dark show.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I want. And by the way, I saw Bobby chiming in on the chat saying if there's any ghost encounters of Ernest Shackleton in Haunts Antarctica... famous explorer of Antarctica. Mm. No, there I have not found a ghost story, you know, saying that. They believe that might be one of the people haunting the tundras, but a straight, strict story based on him, no, I did not find one. I'm not saying they don't exist, but let me tell you, based on trying to research, you know, paranormal happenings in Antarctica, they're few and far in between. Mm-hmm. I promise you that. But man... Haunted paintings, and yes, I've talked about haunted paintings on the show.
Yeah.
But a legit painting moving in a place, like, I'm not talking like the frame shaking. I want to see the figures in the painting move.
That'd be something.
That's what I want.
Is that what...
I'm stuck on that. That's like my favorite thing. That's great.
Now, you're not afraid of a lot of things because you like to go into these places and investigate. But if you saw that, be honest, would you take a step back and be like, what the heck's going on here?
Yes.
I mean, would it give you the case of the heebie-jeebies a little bit there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one of those times where Bob might have to take a step back and realize, hey, there's something really crazy going down here. The paintings are moving. Terrifying.
I don't know, Count. That's definitely something. And I want to finish up this episode by talking about the Ninjin.
Now, is this the cryptid?
This is the cryptid.
I thought you were going to go with something else.
What were you thinking I was going to do?
Well, maybe this is a variation. Is this the Yeti?
No. The Yeti's in the Himalayas, Count.
Okay, so to be clear, because a lot of people get this confused, I guess.
Okay.
The Yeti, which is kind of known as the winter Sasquatch, can you call him that?
Yeah, it's the cousin.
Yeah, the cousin.
Uh-huh.
I thought, just in general, cold, snowy places, the Yeti could be found, but it's only a specific region.
Yes.
Himalayas.
Typically the Himalayas.
So Antarctica, no Yetis in
no
the Antarctica.
No Yetis, but there are the Ninjin.
The Ninjin.
The Ninjin. N-I-N-G-E-N. This is coming to us from the Cryptid Wiki. Ninjin is a cryptid that is located in the oceans of Antarctica and Southern Asia. It has several appearances and... It has several different appearances reported, and it's at least 20 to 30 meters long. It has it's been reported as having pale white skin, and has had actually reports being shown above water and underwater. The Ninjin has been described as a blubbery whale type creature whose smooth pale form vaguely resembles the head and torso and appendages of a human being. That being noted, there are some eyewitnesses who have testified that it has a mermaid-like tail rather than two hind legs, and others who insist that what resemble hands, complete with five fingers and at the end of tendril-like arms. These beasts have supposedly been seen in the Pacific, Antarctic, and Atlantic oceans, and have always been described as having extraordinary large white complexion. Many observers have reported that these animals have no distinct facial features save for two huge eyes and a mouth-like slit. According to most accounts, these creatures are primarily nocturnal and tend to thrive in the frigid Arctic waters. Initial reports of these marine animals were said to have been animated from the tail end of the 20th century, which is strange considering how many centuries mariners have been traversing the water of the world's seas with nary a mention of these bizarre, gigantic beasts. But before, before we can jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a mermaid, but there are some photos of what could actually be these things. And it looks like a combination between a Fresno, like the Fresno crawler, and a mermaid and like a were-seal. And yes, I'm making up a were-seal right now as we speak. I'm calling, you know, I'm dubbing the ninja as a were-seal.
I like that name better even. Rolls off the tongue, the were-seal.
The were-seal.
But the were-seal, to me, Bob, I think I'd rather run to a Yeti, to be honest. Take my chances with the Yeti.
The Yeti's going to rip your arm off.
But the were-seal has bad tendencies, too, it sounds like. Here.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it's aggressive towards humans, so you probably have a better chance of facing off against the ninja than you are the Yeti.
Yeti, I feel like that.
The Yeti, I mean, we're not going to talk about the Yeti yet, but the Yeti is this really strong ape-like creature that will probably rip your arms off. Okay. A ninja just looks like a scary-looking were-seal.
Well, then give me the were-seal.
You're going to decide you're going to do the were-seal?
I'll change my mind here. I'll hang out with the were-seal instead.
I don't know if the ninja's actually the were-seal, but that's what I'm calling it, at least. We have a caller on the line right when I was about to finish up, and I have a feeling it's Jack. I could see Count Panic's head nodding. Am I talking to Jack?
It's Jack.
Jack, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Do you just have a knack?
Hey, Jack has a knack.
Do you have a knack, Jack, for just knowing when I'm done?
You know, it's funny because it's actually not intentional. It's just, I don't know.
You never call me early. You don't call me at like 9:30 and being like, hey, what's up, Bob? I got to talk to you about your news stories. No. You have to wait till I'm done with the lore of the week.
I want to call you during the meaty part. You
the meat,
the meat
and
potatoes. What's on your mind tonight?
How are you going to talk about the Arctic without talking about the Hollow Earth and Admiral Byrd?
Because we're not talking about the Hollow Earth. But you know what? If you want to talk about it, be my guest.
No, I just real quick, I just want to say, you know, how there's been allegedly entrances in the Arctic that have led to these lands that are said to be hot, tropical, and
hold on. Jack, can I put you on a pause just for one quick second?
Sure.
Folks, keep in mind what Jack is talking about is borderline conspiracy theory talk, and we don't normally get the Hollow Earth thing. It could be conspiracy based. I mean, I appreciate the studies that go into it. But I just wanted to preface that, and I appreciate it. I really do, but I'm not a conspiracy theory podcast. But I want Jack to no. Don't think I don't appreciate what you're calling about, because I want you to share what you're talking about. I just wanted to throw in a quick note, real quick.
Okay, how about this? I'll veer off the conspiracy part and I'll put in the paranormal aspect.
Do you have an Arctic ghost story? Because, man, I didn't think anybody did.
He was there.
Well, around. Well, not specifically a ghost story, but around the these alleged entrances to the Hollow Earth, there have been paranormal activity. People who have entered them, Admiral Byrd, for example,
yes,
has said that there's strange electrical occurrences upon entering. The compasses, go all the way around. Feelings of being watched, feelings of, just a strange feeling that people aren't able to explain. So without getting into the conspiracy part, but that, yeah, there is some paranormal aspect to it. So I think oftentimes when people enter, they're probably entering one of the theories is a different realm. So
yeah,
that is a possibility,
Now
that's my two cents.
That's great. Jack, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Do you believe in the were-seal?
I don't know, to be honest with you, Bob. I don't know.
It's not called the were-seal, but I'm calling it the were-seal because it sounds way cooler than the ninja.
Yeah. No, I want it to be real,
Absolutely. Have you ever heard of the ninja before I spoke of it this evening?
Yeah, and I think if there is a cryptid that was going to be real, I think it probably would be the ninja, because it's so, you know, at that elevation, it's so far from, you know, the mainland.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have seen these ninjas, so.
Absolutely.
What's the plural ninja? What's the plural? Is it ninja?
I think it's just like deer and deer.
Okay.
Herd of
yeah.
deer. I'm going to say ninja, because ninjins doesn't sound very right. I'm going to go with absolutely. You have to understand that even though we've been exploring that area for a long time, there are things about that neck of the woods that we don't know anything about. And I'm going to go with truth on this one. I'm going to believe that our were-seal is an actual thing. By the way, do you appreciate me recoining the term ninja to were-seal?
I like it a lot. I think that's what they go by too.
I you know what? I think it is. I'm coining that, guys, and that's the hill I'm dying on, is that we are rechanging the name from Ninjin to were-seal.
I think they're listening to this and they're like, How did he know?
Luckily we don't live in the cold enough to where the ninjin's gonna come visit me, and it's a very possible.
Maybe we could get down there.
You know what? We're gonna get down there. Jack, you wanna go investigate Antarctica?
Yeah, after the Cryptozoology Museum in Maryland, we'll go down there.
All right. We're gonna go straight down there. I wonder if our bus could take us. And this definitely, I saw Vix chiming into the chat about the Selkie, and yeah, this is definitely a form of a Selkie, or you know, a cryptid or mythological water folk. But no, not definitely the ninjin. Jack, I appreciate you calling in, like always. I hope you enjoyed this episode, because, boy, I was proud of myself for getting this research together.
It was a great episode, like all the ones I too, Bob.
Well, thank you, Jack. We appreciate that's an endorsement, folks. Hey, Jack, how's the book coming?
The book is coming along. I've been writing a couple different other articles, so that kind of got me off track, but I'm still working on it.
Uh-huh. Jack, we got to get you back on the show soon. We got to have you on as a guest. We'll have to find something good
definitely.
To talk about.
Right,
Jack, before we let Jack go,
yes.
Jack, what do you know about the Yule Cat? Because Jack was never, he didn't call in back then.
No, that was the, never mind. I was going to say before Jack
you
days.
Know what I really, you know what I really like about Christmas and the paranormal?
That
there is so many paranormal creatures attached.
Rudolph.
To Christmas, like the Yule Cat.
Santa's reindeer, cryptid or not, Jack?
They're cryptids, of course.
Thank you.
He settles it once and for all.
Well, think about it. Odin had a reindeer.
Yes.
And they would fly, and that's where we get the modern, the reindeer from.
Yep.
There you go.
The mythological concept, yeah.
Cryptid.
Cryptid, yeah.
Proven here tonight.
But you didn't answer the question. Do you enjoy the tale of Yule Cat, Jack?
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite Christmas cryptids.
It's a classic.
I see you have one person that joins you on that one count.
I hope Jack gets clothing for Christmas.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jack. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yep,
appreciate
it. Have a good one.
Take care, Jack.
Count.
Yeah.
From were-seals
were-seals
to ghosts to even orbs of light, who would have thunk that Antarctica legitimately had some paranormal happenings going on.
It's tough too, because some investigators might want to go down there to investigate more, but they really can't. One, because it's too darn cold. Two, I don't think they're even allowed down there. So a lot of stuff, remains to be seen by the general public. They just have to hear the stories, I guess.
Absolutely. We're gonna have to write to whoever would let us get down there to go and see it, because I want to. Josh Gates, I got to watch the episode of Destination Fear, because I don't think I've ever seen that one where he's on that on Deception Island.
Yeah. Well, they don't allow too many people there.
No, but we're going to go.
Yeah, we should.
We're going to go look for the were-seal.
Of all the places to go in the world, Antarctica, to search for the were-seal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Count, you got any words of encouragement to end the evening with?
Remember, Christmas season, a lot of people are doing some shopping. And if you're going to shop for somebody, clothing, socks, underwear, because if you don't, well, you all know who's going to be looking out after you here. The old Yule Cat.
Folks, real quick, the live show is going to be next Monday.
Monday.
So you guys can check us out next Monday, thanks to sports season and the holidays.
That's right.
Monday
at 9 p.m.
Yes.
And the podcast after that sometime.
Yep. Hopefully by then the new podcast stuff will be up. Folks, thank you so much for listening and watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. To Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.